WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Two high-profile rulings just in from the Supreme Court. The first on so-called reverse discrimination. Justices have unanimously sided with an Ohio woman who claimed she didn't get a job and was then demoted because she's straight. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
The justices said, no, if you're a member of a majority group, if you're straight, if you're white, you don't have to jump through an extra hoop just to have your day in court, just to try to prove your case.
The Supreme Court's also made a unanimous decision to toss out a $10 billion lawsuit by Mexico against large U.S. gun makers like Smith & Wesson. Jan Crawford.
They've reversed a federal appeals court, the First Circuit, which had found that they could be held liable because the gun maker should have known that their guns were going to be trafficked and be used for violence by the cartels in Mexico.
And the high courts just sided with Catholic Charities in a religious rights case over unemployment taxes. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. We've all seen beaches close because of icky green algae. In central Wisconsin, they're testing a way to restore lakes to their natural beauty without the use of chemicals. The test started about a year and a half ago in the marina on Lake Arrowhead in Adams County. Carl Hasdahl, who is now the Rome Town Board chairperson, said within 67 days, the amount of muck on the bottom of the marina had been reduced by a foot.
The clarity of the water went from 8 inches to 3 feet.
The process uses Mollier nanobubble technology to deliver oxygen throughout the depth of the water. This includes the water at the sediment layer.
And it'll change the sediment basically from anaerobic to aerobic, allowing the good bacteria to overtake the bad bacteria.
Anaerobic conditions, which means without oxygen, can lead to an overgrowth of algae. By shifting conditions to aerobic near the sediment layer, this addition of oxygen stimulates and accelerates the good bacteria to break down organic muck more efficiently. Right now, the Wisconsin DNR is allowing the Tri-Lakes region to do a 10% test on Lake Camelot. They want to be sure having these units inject nanobubbles into the lakes isn't going to hurt the lakes or their inhabitants. Once the DNR is satisfied by the data, the units will eventually be installed on all three lakes.
We're basically spearheading this for the state of Wisconsin. We have about 200 lake districts in the state, and I've got 30 of them in the wings waiting to see the results here so they can start pushing it as well.
Property owners say they've seen many attempts to rid the lakes of algae. One owner stated, there's Band-Aids and there's cures. Hasdahl replied, this is a cure.
You're going to see a lot of this happening over the next couple of years because it's a solution. It's not a Band-Aid. And this will help us restore the lakes back to what they should be.
I'm Melissa Kay, and you're listening to Civic Media News.
The Brewers are back home.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers have the day off before opening a weekend series tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the San Diego Padres. The Brewers beating the Reds yesterday 9-1 at Great American Ballpark thanks to home runs from Jackson Churio, Isaac Collins, and Daz Cameron, whose father Mike played for the crew in 2009. What has Daz learned from his dad?
Stay within the moment and understand that there are going to be times where we're going to win, sometimes we're going to lose, and just continue to, you know, be prepared.
NFL, the Packers center Elton Jenkins has been holding out for a new contract. What about Zach Tom, the starting right tackle? Asked why he's reported to OTAs.
I don't really think it'll do me any good to sit out. You know, I'm trying not to worry about the contract situation. I'm just trying to do what's best for the team. And being here with the guys, I think that's worth a lot more than the contract situation will take care of itself.
That's Packers right tackle Zach Tom with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Maggie Dawn.
The show kicks off with Congressman Mark Pocan, who went toe-to-toe against Russell Vogt, head of the OMB, and ate his lunch. Don't miss our chat.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call and or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And make sure you have the Civic Media app.
Jane, I have it.
It's absolutely free.
You love that joke.
And it's the only way to enter our statewide Text to Win Sconny Summer Contest, which is underway across the network every day now through next Friday. In the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, you will be given a keyword. You text in that keyword via the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets, and then you're in the running for the grand prize. A little vacation getaway, including gas. I know.
The old man brain in me is just like, and gas?
And gas, I know. Isn't that great? So be listening. Your next chance in our statewide Text to Win Sconny Summer Text to Win Contest coming up after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show. So stick around for that. Wanted to start off talking about child care. This is a big, big issue in Wisconsin. It is a big issue around the country. But we started off the show talking about how Governor Evers had agreed to tax cuts that the Republicans had wanted in exchange for more investment in child care and our university system and our educational system. And the Republicans said no.
Yeah.
So they're going to come up with their own budget. But the one thing that the Republicans have done on the issue of child care, they want to expand child care tax credit for employers. Which is great.
Yeah.
Again, they talked about this in 9 to 5 from the 1980s.
I love that movie.
Where employers were going to have child care centers and daycare centers on site.
Yes.
So parents wouldn't have to do it outside of work. Mm-hmm. And then your kids are right there and you can pick them up after you're done and all of those things. That's from the 1980s.
Yeah.
We're not there.
No.
And so far, according to the Wisconsin Examiner, child care, small business owners, small business owners, for one thing, don't have the funds.
No.
If you're a small business, can you afford to set up a daycare center or a child care in your facility?
A small business? Most likely not. I mean, there's a whole bunch of factors that come into play here, I imagine. First of all, I imagine you have to apply to have it be done. Like, your business and you're zoned for business if you're in a building. If you own your building,
there's that too.
If you rent your building, you then have to talk to your landlord, I'm sure, and start there. I mean, the steps of just going from once again, it's Wisconsin Republicans thinking, well, we'll just do this and then it'll be fixed. No, this is, it's not just, I talk about this all the time, investment. It's not just an investment in money. It's an investment in time, energy, ideas, conversation, planning, all these things. Fine, you want small business. You want small businesses to open up their own daycare centers or have the ability, then you need to make sure there is a pipeline from idea to execution to completion, and that way they can do all the things to get this money. Because if that's the case, if I'm just, if I'm a business, let's say I own a business and I employ 15 people,
right,
and we're in a building that we rent, okay, do I just say, all right, that room's childcare, where's my money? Like, this is, you're just throwing an idea out there and there's no real, there's nothing behind it.
Well, right, again, and I think that's a really interesting point. If they had some kind of program to help small businesses navigate this, because I have to imagine as well that you're talking about a change in your insurance coverage.
Absolutely.
If you're going to have childcare on site at your small business.
And I'm assuming that if you're going to have childcare on your site, you're going to have at least one, if not more, trained, qualified, licensed professionals who are there. You have to pay them, or at the very least, what you do is you say, hey, I have a room that's X square feet. I want to open up for childcare for my employees' children. And I rent it out, the space. I collaborate with a daycare center or a daycare provider, and they rent the space, and they can do what they want. But I still have to worry about their insurance.
Yep.
I still have to worry about my insurance.
Yep.
And if, let's just also, we don't even know what the parameters of this tax credit would be. Who knows? Maybe I don't have enough to qualify for it. How about this, Jane? And I'm just spitballing, throwing it out there.
Sure, throw it out.
I'm not a professional politician guy. What if we take that same idea for a tax credit and we give it to the daycare centers that are businesses here in the state?
You mean the already existing businesses?
Correct.
In the business of childcare?
Yes, the thousands upon thousands of daycares that are in the state. What if we extended tax cuts, incentives for them to be able to pay their people more, to just be able to write off certain things? What if we made it easier? I'm just here. For small business, Republicans, you love business. What if we did that instead of just throwing out the idea of a tax credit for quote unquote small businesses? Because also, if I'm running a business, I don't want the headache of a daycare. You don't want the headache of anything. As you said, uncertainty is the killer of business. And if all of a sudden I have to worry about that, it just doesn't make, you're creating a whole new bump in the road instead of just saying, oh, tax credits? Let's give those to the daycares. Done.
855-752-4842. If you are a small business owner, we would love to hear from you. I would love to know what your opinion is on this. Again, legislation introduced by Senator Howard Markline, Republican from Spring Green, and Representative Karen Hurd, another Republican, circulated this bill where they want to expand a child care tax credit for employers. But again, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of businesses that are jumping on this.
Yes.
Again, if you're a small business owner, we'd love to hear from you and what you think about this. 855-752-4842. The other thing that's being talked about now, James Lankford, who's a Republican from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. was on cable this morning, again, talking about the budget bill.
Yeah.
Which numerous agencies have said is going to throw millions and millions of people off of Medicaid.
Yeah.
Mr. Lankford's response was, well, we're going to get them off Medicaid and then they're going to get a job and they'll get their health insurance through their job. A lot of small businesses can't afford to offer health care to their employers.
No.
To their employees.
No, they can't. And I'm going to speak from experience here. At the Laughing Tap, which is owned by a parent company, one of the things we wanted to do was looking into offering, not forcing, but just having the option of being able to give employees insurance. It is a lot more difficult. It's a lot more red tape. And mm-hmm. and if you have less amount of employees, it's almost devastatingly expensive.
I would imagine if you have 50 or less employees,
yeah.
it's got to be massively expensive to offer them health insurance.
Massively expensive. So we just have never been able to do that. And it's something we want to do. And yeah, it's once again that idea that, well, they can just, you know, Go get it from
the private sector. Will do it.
The uncles and aunts and grandparents can take care of the kid. The businesses can open their own daycare. Like, it's just this thing of like tut tut, hand waving away these problems with you, what you think is a solution, which shows you do not talk to anyone in the state who goes through the problems that you're in charge of fixing.
Well, and I go back to I feel like there is not enough long term thought.
No.
About ramifications, about what's going to happen down the road after we do this. I just don't feel like there's a lot of futuristic looking. And maybe it's because, again, my father was a mortician. I started death and worked my way backwards. You know, I would think our lawmakers would be thinking long term, and I just don't think they do.
And even like, and I want to be very, very clear. I'm not against giving tax credits or tax breaks to companies that want to do the wonderful thing of opening up a daycare for their employees. I've said this before, and I would love to hear from parents here. 855-752-4842. If you had a job offer that was paying you less than the current job you're at, but they offered free daycare, would you take it? And I think they would, because it's so expensive. But how about introducing a package of ideas here? And I'm not, and I've just thought about this right now. Let's say you have a tax credit for businesses that want to start a daycare.
Okay.
You have a set of tax credits, tax incentives, and write-offs for existing daycares in the state. And then you raise the benefit from the child and dependent child tax credit for his parents. So everyone has the ability to expand, create, or save. You're taking care of businesses from small to large, to the people who are sitting here wondering where their next paycheck is going to pay for their rent, their food, or their childcare. It's not that tough. And you get bipartisan support. I'm sure the governor would sign it before he could even finish reading the rest of the thing. And then from the political side, you go knock on some doors. You make some phone calls. Say, hey, Jane Doe, Bob Coo Public, this is what we're doing for you today.
Can't give him any wins, though.
No!
Can't give the Democratic governor any wins.
And when you...
I really do think that's part of it.
I agree, but remember this, and this is something I want to keep saying. When you keep the governor from winning, you keep Wisconsin from winning. That's important. And it is harming the people of the state you claim to represent. And that is disgusting.
During the COVID pandemic, the Evers administration used federal pandemic money to pay child care providers monthly stipends through the Child Care Counts program. That $20 million a month helped providers stabilize child care, increasing workers' pay while keeping care more affordable for families. Evers tried to use $360 million from the 2023-25 budget to continue that Child Care Counts. None of Wisconsin's Republican majority in the legislature got behind that. Lawmakers now writing the new budget. Evers, child care providers, and advocates are campaigning for $480 million to keep that Child Care Counts program going for the next 2 years. Republicans, though, on the Joint Finance Committee removed that proposal along with more than 600 other items.
When you hold back victory from the governor, you hold back victory from Wisconsin.
This affects all of us.
Yep. Yeah. This doesn't just affect parents. It affects their children. It affects the bosses.
It affects their coworkers. It does.
How are you? Like, hey, we've all been there where I'm not either going to name names, nor am I going to slam anybody on this, but we've all worked at a place where there was a coworker who was always seeming to have to leave early, come in late, take off because they don't have access to childcare. And that is terrible. You invest in this thing, you invest in childcare, it will pay back in dividends. And that is the absolute proof and truth. So yeah, it's just so upsetting to me. It's so upsetting.
He's verklempt.
I'm verklempt.
We're going to continue on the other side and talk about service animals.
I have opinions.
We do have opinions. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back. Ooh.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were talking about childcare in Wisconsin and the Republicans' only effort to address the child care crisis is to say businesses should do it. That'll fix it all. Gene from Eau Claire has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning. Outstanding show as usual. Hey, Gene, I'm glad you brought up 9 to 5, the movie.
Yep.
9 to 5, yeah. With Gene Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Dolly Parton. Outstanding. This is what they... People were saying, we're going back. So you really need to check that out. Share it with your friends. Everybody get on there and see that thing. You'll see what went on there. Okay, anyway, another thing, too, is when people go to these meetings and they are treated ugly and totally dismissed with a condescension and the remarks, it is very important for you to start taping this and putting it out there for your neighbors to see, or you know, with your phones. I'm not real tech savvy.
Sure.
But I do know that years ago, when we learned from people how to fight back against the city, and what you need to do is you don't have to have big groups and you know, people on the committee and things like that. What you need to do is start talking to different people who are working on this too, sharing information, getting things out in the voice of people. also taping those meetings of what the questions are and how they answer and their faces. Because when that was going on in the Capitol, you know, when Walker was doing all those things,
yep,
I couldn't get any information. It's not coming out on your regular media. So people sometimes when they see this and hear it, and I was watching on YouTube what they were doing to the people in the lines and what was happening, I sat and I cried. I watched those all night meetings over on my side of the state because I wasn't getting this information. So you guys share it. That was wonderful. You had that woman on. That is what they're doing, and people need to see that these people really don't care. And that's a great way. You got the means to do it now. I think that would be outstanding. More people need to see it and hear it and get involved whatever way they can. Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
You too, Jean. Thank you so much. And Jean has mentioned before, depending upon where you are in the state, you have more limited choices on where you get your news from.
Yes.
Because they're simply, we have television stations that are dying and struggling and cutting reporters and all of those things. And so it's a challenge. And I think that's why a lot of people do go to social media to look for news.
And but there are great resources right here in the state, things like the Wisconsin Examiner, the Pilot and Review. I mean, I'm going to include us as well. You know, we're trying to bring you the stories from around the state that really impact you the most. And I'm going to, you know, what Jeannie has said on the phone, I'm going to, you know, encapsulate in a very simple phrase that you have said for a while now, which is share what you know.
Yep.
If you know something, whether it's video, an article, the experience you have, tell a neighbor, talk to a friend, talk to a stranger if it happens to happen, and be respectful, of course. I'm assuming and trusting you'll always be respectful. But it's about sharing what you know, because a politician can stand on a podium and talk, and you can be like, this is nothing. But if you talk to a friend or a coworker and they tell you an experience that you shared or that at the very least you can empathize with, that's where it starts.
Yes.
And then share that with, you know, social media. Share that. You know, I know if the social media can be a vacuum. You're like, I have a tweet, and you throw it into the vacuum of the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
But it can make a difference. Someone might see it. And then pick up that phone and call your representative. Call your state assemblyman, state senator. Call your council person, whomever represents you.
If I don't know how to contact the people who are representing me, Greg Buck, it would be really useful if there was one place that I could go to that had all of that information.
Wouldn't it, though?
We
should make one of those. We should do that. I have an idea called the Internet, Jane.
Yes.
It's a series of tubes. No, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. You're going to put in all of your information.
Just ask for your address.
Yeah, not all your information, your address. And you will be able to find out who represents you, from the president of the United States down to the city council members that in your local community. You're also going to be able to find out what's going to be on your upcoming ballot. If you have one, you can register to vote. You can request ballots for early voting, as long as we still have it. But that is a great website, myvote.wi.gov, and make yourself be heard. Share what you know. And yeah, thank you so much, Jeannie, for calling. We always appreciate talking to you.
And we know Jeannie calls.
Yes.
And I think, again, you might feel like you're spitting in the wind and this isn't doing anything. No. But I do think it's important that our lawmakers know that we're watching them.
Because we spoke to somebody months ago who said that this, and I wish I could remember, I apologize for not remembering his name, but he did say that if lawmakers aren't hearing from us, they're going to take it as, well, I'm doing a good job because no one's calling up mad.
No one's complaining.
No one's complaining.
I'm not hearing it. The phones are quiet.
Make those calls. Be respectful to those on the phone with, because they're aides, they're interns, they're low level, and they... No one needs to be yelled at.
Yeah, don't, please. Yeah, just be polite.
Be polite, but be
forceful.
Heartfelt.
Heartfelt is good.
There you go.
Ooh, good word from Greg.
Thank you.
Heartfelt, the word of the day. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we will lighten it up. Audio sorbet. It's all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here. Brewers with a big win yesterday. We'll talk about baseball and much, much more. That's all coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Might stop. I stain my sheets. I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end. She is starting to cry when I'm walking.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another person sentenced to time in prison for conspiring to sell drugs in the Marathon County area. On Wednesday, Joshua L. Lake, aged 32, was sentenced to 11 years in federal prison for conspiring to distribute methamphetamine and possessing a firearm as a felon. The investigation began in early 2024 by the Central Wisconsin's Narcotic Task Force. By April, officers were able to execute a search warrant at Lake's home. They found approximately 2 kilograms of methamphetamine. That's over 4 pounds. They also found 1 kilogram of cocaine, 2 rifles, over $25,000 in cash, and other items linked to drug trafficking. At sentencing, U.S. District Judge William Conley described Lake's conduct as egregious and said the amount of pure meth in his possession was stunning. 3 other people have been charged in this drug trafficking organization. After the 11-year federal prison sentence, Lake will spend 5 years on supervised release. Negotiations between Governor Tony Evers and top Republicans have hit a wall. Last night, key GOP leaders said talks had reached an impasse, despite what they called good faith negotiations. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu and Budget Committee Co-Chair Senator Howard Markline said taxpayers simply can't afford the governor's spending priorities. In response, Evers said he kept his end of the bargain, backing tax cuts for the middle class and retirees. But Republicans wouldn't budge on his calls for child care, education, and funding for the UW system. Wisconsin has the largest budget surplus on record, according to an analysis from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. The Joint Finance Committee stripped hundreds of items from the governor's budget proposal last month, and it meets again this afternoon. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The hunt for Osama bin Laden is a ratings jackpot for Netflix, but not to be outdone is the hunt for Michael J. Fox's guitar from Back to the Future. The film is about to celebrate its 40th anniversary in just a few weeks on July 3rd. As you may remember, Michael J. Fox's character, Marty McFly, famously played Johnny B. Goode at the Enchantment Under the Sea high school dance. Fox rocked the crowd with a red Gibson, which was never seen again. The team of guitar-searching showbiz mercenaries includes Fox, co-star Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc, and rock star Huey Lewis. They all appear on camera in a new documentary called Lost to the Future. You too can be part of this manhunt as they are making an appeal to the public to help in the search. Anyone with leads on the guitar's whereabouts can call 1-888-345-1955 or send a message to www.losttothefuture.com. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Wayne York, who makes the popcorn pick of the week. And then organized crime expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk about presidents and their connections to the mob.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bott, Calvitini on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, you can always subscribe to our Civic Media Digest at civicmedia.us/email. Top podcast hours of all your favorite civic media shows, news and commentary from our great civic media news team all across the state. And you can actually curate what you get. So whatever your interests are, it's pretty fabulous. Go to civicmedia.us/email and sign up for our Civic Media Digest. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan. Brewers, another big win yesterday. What's going on with the crew, Paul?
They have been one of the hottest teams in baseball, honestly. And they have been getting better performances from really their two stars on offense, which has been the driving force. Christian Yelich has actually been extremely hot. I feel like he's at the stage of his career where it's kind of just, if he's healthy, he's going to still produce like an all-star, and if the back tweaks or something like that, he doesn't. But he's been on an absolute tear. And he's also run into a nice little run of right-handed pitching. If you look at Yelich's splits on the year, he's actually one of the worst players in baseball against left-handed pitching, but his normal all-star self against righties. That's kind of the whole reason he's been bad. It's just he's had kind of a bad mix of that. So a nice run of pitchers that he can pick on and a nice run of actually being healthy has propelled him back to normal. And Jackson Churio is looking like he might be starting to turn it around a bit as well. He has hit quite a few homers lately. Jackson hasn't walked much this year. He's been impatient. But part of that is because when he swings at the first pitch, he is slugging like 770. 500 is good. 600 is all-star. 700 is like Hall of Fame level. So when he makes, if you throw him a meatball on the first pitch, there's a good chance he's going to hit it out. It's been a double-edged sword for him this year because if he misses, then he's down in the count and he's quite bad down in the count, but he's been not missing lately. And he's started to adjust his game a little bit more to get back in count. So, you know, he's 21 years old. He's a kid. The league adjusts to him. He's done a great job of adjusting back so far. There's going to be these little hiccups for Churio as he develops. But those two have powered this, in addition to Rhys Hoskins just still being good. The other big one, last time I was on the show, we did a lot of complaining about Pat Murphy.
Yep.
And I want to be clear. While the results have been better for the Brewers over the last 10 games, the process hasn't really been that much different. The Brewers last year, the relief pitcher to pitch the most games in baseball appeared in 79 games. The Brewers have two relief pitchers on pace for 80 games this year.
Wow.
That is still too much. And he still is overusing guys like Abner Uribe and Nick Mears. They won yesterday 9-1. Was that yesterday? Yeah, it was. It was 9-1. Nick Mears pitched in that game. Nick, you have four relievers who are extremely important to keep healthy and fresh. He is one of them. There was no reason to use him in a game. It wasn't 9-1. I think they were still kind of like 5-1, but still, that's a situation where you should rest your guys. The reason that this has worked for the Brewers lately is they had an off day, so they got to rest up everybody, which is good. And they actually got a couple of good starts deep into games that also saved things a little bit. But Pat is still using his best relievers too much. And that will cost you long term if you keep doing it. But it's been a good stretch. They had an off day to work. They managed to, skate by a couple of blowouts. And they've been on fire. They're five games above 500. They're a half game out of the wild card right now. The Cubs have also been on a tear, so they haven't made up too much ground there, unfortunately. But they've kept themselves in the playoff race. And it looked like they were going to be sure sellers, 2 weeks ago. And now they look like dynamite. So all things good so far. But a couple of little worrisome trends still hanging out there for him.
I am delighted for Christian Yelich, largely because, what is he, 37? At 37, he's considered such an ancient human being. So I love to see him slamming him out of the park. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think, is he that old? I feel like time for me doesn't matter anymore. I'm at the age where.
If they're younger than me, they're just youngsters.
They're all youngsters. Yep. Yeah. But
he is 33.
Oh, he's only 33. So. Well, again, still in baseball years, he's almost dead.
Wow.
He is. So Yelich is interesting because he actually has very stereotypical problems for a tall man in baseball. He used to be one of the fastest players in baseball. He has had a distinct drop off in sprint speed this year. Tall guys' knees tend not to age very well. The guy he reminds me of most is Corey Hart, the Brewers' former outfielder and first baseman. Corey Hart, when he came up with the Brewers, was the fastest guy in baseball. And just 1 year, his knees caught up with him, and he couldn't run anymore, had to move to first base. Yelich has always been like an 80% sprint speed guy in baseball, and he's fallen to like 60% this year. You can tell the knees are starting to get a little bit, which is sad to see. He's 33. That's not old, but baseball age is a different thing altogether.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who was the former first baseman for the Brewers who he was the slowest guy I've ever seen in my life. He is like
Jesus Aguilar.
Yes, when Aguilar hit the ball, he would power walk would be an overestimation of what he was doing. He would just be like click. He knew he was going. I was like, oh, I'm just gonna just dump, 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 dump. And anytime I see anyone run, I just think of him. I'm like, I don't understand why you don't even just try. You're just nothing. And so when someone says they're slow, I'm like, you're not as slow as Aguilar.
You are not.
No,
that team was actually one of the slowest teams ever to play. For the Brewers anyway. That was a team that had Aguilar and like Dan Vogelbach and a couple other big slow guys. They ended up not hitting as many doubles as you would project because of that. Like they were so slow that even like drives to the alley would turn into singles a lot of the time.
I remember Vogelbach. He was so sweet. Looked like he came out right off a farm to play baseball. And my friend used to say, he goes, I love Vogelbach because he just looks so big, happy, and dumb.
Yep. Indeed.
Paul Noonan is here. He is the sports guru for the Acme Packing Company, and he joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Let's turn our gaze over to football a little bit, Paul. What are we thinking about the Packers?
OTAs have started, and if you're looking for some good news on the Packers, and I know we all are, this is the time of year when people show up in the best shape of their lives, and usually that doesn't matter. It's just something coaches say to make guys feel better about themselves. But we actually got some decent news on a couple of somewhat hidden injuries last year. Kenny Clark apparently played most of last year with bone spurs in his feet, and that is painful. He looked like a guy who was hurt. Kenny Clark, when he's healthy, is one of the best interior pass rushers in the league, and he just was not himself last year. He did have surgery to fix that. And if you can get back a healthy or at least a little bit healthier Kenny Clark, that will go a long way toward fixing what was one of the worst pass rushes in the league last year. The other one, Lucas Van Ness, their young outside rusher, they draft from Iowa, one of the most athletic guys in the league. I've been down on him a while because he seems to not have learned any pass rushing technique the entire time he was with the Packers or with Iowa, frankly. It turns out he was playing with a really significant hand injury, specifically a thumb injury. We don't know exactly what it was, but basically said he couldn't use one of his hands at all last year. The edge rushing position is about two things, about being fast and powerful and about using your hands properly. And if you can't use your hands, all that you can really do is bull rush because you can't do everybody thinks about like Reggie White's moves, like the punch and the hump move and things like that. Like a lot of this is getting inside guys and grabbing and throwing. And if Van Ness couldn't do that, it explains a lot of why it looked like he hadn't really come along as a pass rusher. And he claims he's healthy now. If the hands are good, he's a good bet to see a big leap forward. going forward. And if you're looking for even better news on the Packer front, the Detroit Lions, with the class of the NFC North last year, went 15-2, only lost in the playoffs, really, because their entire secondary got hurt at the same time, suffered a surprise retirement of their center, Frank Ragnow. And that is a huge blow to them, because the Lions' offense is almost entirely built on having the most elite offensive line in the league. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, really struggles under pressure. He's been good for several years because the Lions are the best at keeping quarterbacks clean. They lost Kevin Zeitler, their guard, to the Tennessee Titans this year. He's very old. And so they're going to have an entirely new interior offensive line. It's the first big turnover for that line in like 5 years. On top of all that, their best tackle, that's not true. They have two awesome tackles. Penei Sewell is really good too. He's young. But Taylor Decker, this will be his age 33 season. Offensive linemen tend not to age well into their mid-30s, just like Christian Yelich. And so the Lions are really built on this particular thing. They cannot really stand their offensive line to be anything else than elite. And Ragnow is only 28 years old. It was a very surprising move that they were unprepared for. And this will hurt them more than just about any other team in football. The Packers can withstand losing offensive linemen. They're great at making them from scratch. The Lions have not shown this. They have not replaced guys well. Like, they replaced it last year. They fixed a hole with Zeitler, who was 33. Draft and develop has not been there since Sewell, who was like a number two overall pick or something crazy like that. So this is good for the Packers.
Is there a reason why he's retiring so young? Is it health reasons? Is this loss of interest? I mean, is it just, I'm out,
I'm done?
So there was a little bit on the injury front. He has definitely been beat up. He's been good his entire career. His 7-year career, he's been awesome. But he suffered a lot of nagging injuries. He's been hurt. And he's had some contract disputes with the team, too. And the one thing we know about the Detroit Lions is nobody drives away Hall of Fame players like the Detroit Lions do. Chalk just went up with Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, who also left kind of in their primes because the Lions were hard to deal with. And contract plus this is a lot of pain. And he was just like, no, I'm out. I'm done with this. I'm rich. I'm going to go enjoy life.
You got to give him props for that. Right? Yep. I mean,
I'd love to say that sentence out loud and it'd be true.
Absolutely. Same here.
Yeah.
In the couple of minutes we have left, Paul, let's talk about the NBA playoffs, which get underway.
NBA playoffs start tonight. Not the biggest NBA guy. Oklahoma City is going to be massively favored over the Pacers. The Western Conference in basketball is just a lot better than the Eastern Conference, that where we find the Bucks. But the Pacers have, if nothing else, been a chaotic, fun, evil. They obviously, as a Bucks fan, the Pacers are evil, but they are a good heel, and they have managed to make themselves a thorn in the side of a lot of teams just by kind of being jerks. They're definitely the worst of the two teams in the finals. But you can't discount the jerk factor. You get in people's heads, and it goes a long way. So we'll see how this goes. But it is. I know the NBA, the narrative is they're not happy about this because two of the smallest markets in the league. And while they both have huge stars, the NBA has not done a great job of promoting stars outside of big markets, something we know in Milwaukee very well.
No kidding.
People know Giannis, but Giannis certainly doesn't get the pub he should based on where he plays. And so maybe this will be a little bit of a wake-up call that it actually doesn't matter which market your stars are in. It matters that they're stars. So
be aware of the jerk factor, people. I love that.
Yep. The heels. Pacers are the heels.
Halliburton is fun to hate, man. He is he's great for that.
He is with the Acme Packing Company. Their sports guru, Paul Noonan, joins us every other Thursday. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll see you in a couple.
Thanks, all.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Supermarket Sweep Edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses, and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at LoveLost.com.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jay Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up.
What?
After the 11 o'clock news, get your phone out.
Get your phone out.
Open up the Civic Media app and get ready to text in a keyword that you will get after 11 o'clock. Our statewide text to win Scotty Summer contest is underway through next Friday. Four chances every day for the next 2 weeks. 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours. You will have a keyword that you want to text in over the course of that hour. Then you are in the running for either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Everyone who enters, whether you win or not, entered into the grand prize drawing, a chance at a nice vacation, and we even give you gas to get there.
That is very, very nice. Be on the lookout for our voices, me and Jane,
yep,
giving you the keyword during the Tom Hartman Show, and then feel free, do it, text in that word. Make sure Spelling is correct.
Spelling counts.
Is key.
Yep, spelling counts. Congratulations to Mark from Hayward, an earlier winner, and also Paul in Green Bay, who was streaming on WGBW. Well done, guys. Again, our statewide text to win Scotty Summer Contest underway. Your next chance to enter after 11 o'clock in the Tom Hartman Show. Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is the supermarket sweep edition from NBC News. Nat Summer and Chelsea Chan with the byline. The headline reads, Bull in a China Shop? No, it's an elephant in a grocery store.
I've never heard that. It's like an elephant in a grocery store.
It is. Doesn't work. The shop owner, Ply Biang Lek, said the wild elephant helped himself to about 9 bags of rice crackers, a sandwich, and some dried bananas before leaving with a bag of snacks in his trunk.
That's, the description is so wonderful because elephants, rather big animal. Not a lot of food in my head.
For an elephant.
Exactly. You think like, oh, it ate the entire produce section.
No.
No.
He's watching his figure.
It's summertime. Got exactly. Bikini season. We're trying to keep it real toit.
The male elephant said the shop owner wandered over from a national park into their town of Pak Chong, which is northeast of Bangkok. In the video posted online, so there is a video element that you can watch once we get these posted in the show notes. The shop owner, Camp Loy Kakao, can be heard scolding the elephant as national park workers try to usher him out. Undisturbed, the animal continues munching on various things as he dusts the floor with crumbs and mud. Eventually, the elephant backed out of the store, a bag of snacks still clasped in his trunk. The elephant ate items that were purchased at the market that morning, including, again, the rice crackers, a sandwich, and some dried bananas.
If we're going to assume that this is a typical Asian elephant, because there are different kinds.
There are two, yes.
I am just going to, and I am not an animal expert, and I don't own a grocery store, but I wouldn't yell at a nearly 9,000-pound creature that could step on me as easy as look at me. But I do like the fact that it was undeterred by the young. Like,
not perturbed. Yeah.
I do what I want.
Well, and again, what I love about this video and this article is it says that he could have destroyed this entire shop.
Yes.
Pretty easily.
And just by walking through, too, right. But he makes one turn.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
And he backed out instead of, I don't know, taking out another plate glass window.
Yeah.
But they do say that he left some muddy prints on the floor and the ceiling.
Yeah.
Because he's so big that his back was rubbing the top, or the top of his head was up against the ceiling.
Oh, this is so cute. Just want to pet. I'm such a squish for animals.
We are all squishes for animals. Elephants, encounters between elephants and humans have occasionally been known to turn bad.
Yeah.
Glad to say this did not happen in this instance. And apparently he went back to the nature reserve and now he's full.
Hey, guys, I brought snacks.
I got snacks.
We're carving out today.
9 bags of rice crackers, a sandwich, and some dried bananas. And there you go. You got your lunch. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, it is Friday. We're going to talk to Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Should be a great discussion. Also, Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi award-winning recombobulation area. Dan Schaefer here in hour number two. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next. Tom Hartman takes over 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
are listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. In a unanimous decision, the U.S. Supreme Court's made it easier to bring lawsuits over reverse discrimination, siding with Marlene Ames, an Ohio woman who claimed she didn't get a job and then was demoted because she's straight.
They put a 25-year-old man with less than 3 years of service in to do my job that I had successfully done for over 5 years.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
This is a unanimous Supreme Court saying that you, when you're a plaintiff and you walk into court and you want to allege employment discrimination, that you're not going to have a different standard depending on who you are.
And CBS's Jan Crawford says the court tossed out a $10 billion lawsuit Mexico filed against gun makers alleging they fueled cartel gun violence.
They said that the gun maker, Smith & Wesson, is not liable, that Mexico has no case.
And the court said a Catholic charity in Wisconsin does not have to pay unemployment taxes. CBS News special report. I'm Steve Kathan.